You are listening to a Blazing Caribou Studios production.
Welcome to Two Peas on a Podcast. These current events and hot topics aren't going to talk about themselves. And now, here are the two Peas, Andy and Gerald.
All right, guys, here we are, episode 67, Two Peas on a Podcast. Welcome in. Want to welcome everybody in. You don't hear Andy in the background screaming because he's not here this week. He probably is screaming where.
Oh, yeah!
Hey! He probably is screaming wherever he is, but he's not here with me this week. His kids are on spring break, so he's like, I don't know, he's trying to be a dad or whatever, so he's off doing that. But I have a very special guest host that agreed to come on this week so we could kind of get the information out to the public like we usually do. So very excited to have him here. He's been on the show before. He's done a couple of our fun bonus episodes with us. He's never come on before to really talk serious talk, so I'm happy to have him here. Dan is joining me this week from Netflix and Swill. Dan, what's up, brother?
Hello, I am not in La Casa. I am at my La Casa.
That's accurate. Unfortunately, I wish you were in my casa.
We tried to hook that up a few months ago, but that just didn't happen.
That happen. You know, you were here when my whole family was sick, so it's your fault.
Oh,
you should,
yeah.
You should have checked.
I actually, what happened was late that, like, when I first got there, I just had like a vial of flu, and I just like threw it into your house.
Yeah,
like if you had broken glass in your house, and you're just like, where the fuck did this come from? That's where it came from.
Yeah, Dan Brennick threw it. Yeah, no, that's you, man. Look, dude, I'm really excited you're here. It's always cool to get another kind of viewpoint, if you will, on some of the news that's going on. And there was a period of time, I don't know if you recall, I know you listened to the show, but there was a period of time over the summer where Andy was out for like 8 weeks.
Oh, I remember that.
Yeah, we had a guest host on every week, some of which you know, like Nick came on and Chris Brayton came on. And it was cool because, like I said, everybody kind of has different opinions. I've been
No. Nick and I are the same person. Like, so so pretty much you're getting another Nick episode,
which is fine. I love Nick, so that's cool. And it's going to be a pretty raw take on some of the stuff. I imagine I tend to go a little more neutral and be a little more soft with my approach. So I'll be interested to see what you bring. But Dan is from Netflix and Swill. Him and his buddy Caleb do a show basically about Netflix, and they talk about everything that's streaming over there on the giant Netflix network. So what's going on, man? Anything fun going on in the world, Netflix and Swill? How's your week been?
My week is whatever. I had a job interview. I'm unemployed again, which seems to be my life at this point. It's just I have no ability to keep a job, and most of the time it's not my fault. At least I don't feel.
I don't know why you're so lovable, man. I would hire you. I would hire you.
But you work at a restaurant type thing, and I refuse to work in food service.
That's a good plan, actually. Stick to that, and you'll be successful in life, brother.
I actually worked in food service as a kid, and as a teen, and I was like, yeah, you kind of get treated like garbage here, so I'm going to avoid this in my real life.
Right. Well, you know, I said that too, and then I looked up 25 years later, and I'm still doing it, so, and I'm almost at the end of my life now, so I guess there's no looking back.
You're like 40. Shut the fuck up. You're not even at like average death age for a guy.
You know, I like to joke at how, because I feel old. And when I say I feel old, I'm physically, yes, but I mean more like my soul. Like I just kind of feel like an old man, you know, inside. But you're right. I'm 42. So I guess I'm not really that old. I don't have a lot to report myself, Dan. I'm doing this thing lately, though, and my wife's coming along on this journey with me. And we always are kind of late to the party when it comes to the Oscars. You know what I mean? The Academy Awards. So in the last month, we've been kind of watching all the movies that had the Oscar buzz because they're starting to show up on iTunes and Netflix and HBO and so on and so forth. So we can like watch them for a minimal price. So this past week, I saw Call Me By Your Name. You heard of that one?
Yeah, I did.
Have you seen it?
I don't know how to feel about that one, honestly. Because, like, what is it? It's a 16-year-old boy engages in a relationship with a 31-year-old man in Italy.
He's 17, but yes.
He's 17?
It's 17, played by Timothy Chalamet, which, by the way, was a fucking... I mean, we're just a tremendous performance. I mean, we're not doing movie reviews here, but...
Yeah.
I was fucking blown away by this kid's performance. He was really good in it. And then the older guy was, like, 25 or 6. And he was a grad student, and it played by Armie Hammer, which, come on, you're gonna fall. I mean, in Italy, you're gonna fall in love with Armie Hammer. I mean, right? It was great, man. It was a really good movie. The subject matter, like you say, when you read it on paper, is a little taboo, but when you watch it, I mean, I really did view it kind of as a love story, and I really enjoyed it. I thought it was a really good movie. My wife didn't like it as much. She didn't get it quite as much, but it really spoke to me. I thought it was a really good movie. So we saw that one. And then you probably heard, but a couple weeks ago we watched Shape of Water.
Yeah,
and
I still haven't seen the fish penis.
You haven't seen that?
The lack of fish penis.
Yeah, there's no fish penis in that. Can you believe that?
That's so like I've been championing for it for a while. Like we did a review for Game Over Man, and there's about 4 minutes in the movie where it's just nothing but Adam Devine's either penis or stunt cock. And right. I'm just like, we need more of this in movies. What, like, if girls are going to show off their boobs all the time, why can't guys just hang dong every
now and then? And this fish is walking around naked the whole time. And I mean, now they do a little thing where they kind of explain that his member or whatever is hidden. Mm-hmm. And I guess it only appears when he's excited or something like that. They do a little kind of conversation.
Yeah, me too, bro.
Yeah, I think that's pretty universal. So anyway, we're going through the Oscar movies, and what I was going to say is this week we're looking to watch Three Billboards, which Frances McDormand won for. So I'm excited for you. Call Me By Your Name was great.
Saw that one, actually. Oh, it is just quick. Frances McDormand, Sam Rockwell, really good. Actually, I think all the acting is good. I think the writing is spotty at times. Yeah. But overall, I think it's a pretty good movie.
Well, when you see Shape of Water, let me know, because that won Best Picture. And my daughter had a kind of a clever text to me. Because she was really pulling for Call Me By Your Name. She read that book and was really excited when they did a movie version of it. But she was she was texting me. She was like, I guess Hollywood's okay with, you know, fish sex, but not quite gay sex yet. Which kind of spoke a little bit to...
Well, I don't know about that, because let's remember Moonlight last
year. That's right. Yeah, and I reminded her of that, and I said, hey, you know, Tom Hanks won the Oscar, 15 years ago for Philadelphia, so...
You know,
they're coming around, let's put it that way. So listen, we're talking about movies, so let's get started on some of these topics, Dan. You know, we do the entertainment bookend in the beginning here, and I sent you a quick kind of bullet point list here, so let's see. Now, the first one... I feel like you're going to have a lot to say. Now, in fairness, I found out, I just want everybody to know, and I want you to know, I found out that Andy wasn't going to be on the show about 3 or 4 days ago. So I had already known this was going to be a topic. And then when I, you know, look for volunteers to be on the show, and you were one of the first ones, I'm like, oh my God, just because of this topic. Yes, I have to have you on. Yes. So let me tell everyone real quick, and then I want to, because you're the Netflix dude, obviously, I want to get your reaction. So Steven Spielberg, who everyone knows, one of the most celebrated filmmakers, if not the most celebrated filmmaker, I mean, there's an argument that can be made for that, of the last, I don't know, 20, 30 years, has recently been quoted in a interview that Netflix movies should not be eligible for Oscars. Now, this came up because the Netflix documentary Icarus, am I saying that right?
Icarus.
Okay.
Like the boy with the wings made from
wax. Oh, okay. All right. Icarus. Okay. I'm sorry. Took home the Oscar for best documentary this year. Won the Oscar. And then there were also nominations for Mudbound, which I've heard you guys talk about, and Strong Island, which are also Netflix originals.
Wait, he's upset about Icarus?
Apparently, yeah. That's why it came up.
Oh, my God.
So Spielberg says, quote, "Once you commit to a TV format, you are a made-for-TV movie. If it's good, you deserve an Emmy, sure, but not an Oscar," unquote. How do you feel, brother? Let's talk a little bit about Spielberg's take here on what do you think?
Do we really care what a guy who probably can't navigate to the Netflix app on a smart TV thinks? Do we really care?
Now he's old. Now he's getting up there.
He's 78.
Okay. I don't know how old he is, but I know he's old.
He's in his 70s. Dude, who cares what you think?
Right.
I mean, this also connects with another story, which that Cannes is now said that Netflix, Amazon.
Yeah.
Actually, I think it's just Netflix. Netflix cannot compete for awards at Cannes, but it can show movies at Cannes. But that basically means Netflix isn't going back to Cannes ever again. And Spielberg actually was on the Cannes panel several years ago. So that kind of ties in together.
Which one came first, you know? Was it the Cannes announcement or Spielberg's quote?
It was Spielberg's quote and then Cannes.
Hmm, interesting.
So, but it was like it's a rain. When it rains, it pours kind of thing.
Interesting.
And Man, fuck can, first of all, because I looked at it, and the last time that a film that won their major award, which I can never pronounce, despite the fact that it took French for 5 years, the last time they had an award winner of their prestigious, quotes, mm-hmm. award be then nominated for Best Picture, mm-hmm. for in the Academy Awards was 2012.
Wow.
Yeah. So
hopefully not the movie 2012.
No. I can't remember what it was, but that was the last time.
I was joking. That movie was a piece of
shit.
Oh,
yeah, yeah. No, fuck that movie. That movie's terrible. But, I mean, it's just...
Well, here...
I guess we just need to wait for these people to, you know, either quit or die off in order for them to understand that, you know, movies are movies.
Right. Well, here's my thing, dude. What Spielberg probably doesn't realize, and I'm not trying to be funny, but probably because of his age and the way, you know, he came up in the 70s, 80s when film was, you know, the reel, man, and you're cranking the reels, mm-hmm. is what he probably doesn't realize, and a lot of people, unfortunately, that are on the Academy because it's a bunch of old white dudes, is that film is changing. Everything's streaming now. We're going to talk a little bit about music later as well. I have a little story about vinyl records in here. But, you know, things are changing. Everything's digital. Everything's at our fingertips. I mean, even AMC kind of got the hint and got the MoviePass thing where you can, you know, get unlimited movies for $10 a month, which is a great idea, I think. Because that's the way the world's going, brother. And mm-hmm. I know you and Caleb are finding trouble. I'll use the word trouble lately. Finding Netflix kind of like quality stuff, but Netflix does some good stuff, bro. I mean, they're produced high quality. I mean, there's no difference to me in a Netflix film, like the actual quality of it, than seeing a Spielberg film. I mean, I'm just telling you, with the exception of just being able to see it on the big screen, obviously, but that's...
Well, yeah, I think the big problem with Netflix movies is like, Netflix is notorious, and this is a double-edged sword. They're notoriously lenient with what they let their directors and showrunners do. So pretty much what you see on screen is the director, showrunner, producer's vision.
Yeah.
None of it has to do with Netflix. Netflix is just kind of like, all right, go for it. Like, Netflix is like a creative's dream, where it's just like, we're going to give you very minimal intervention. You just do you. But when you have that, you have people who become unchecked. So, like, there are certain devices, certain plot devices where it's just like, man, why are you doing this? I don't understand why you're doing this. Man, I really wish Netflix was, you know, kind of watching you and just being like, hey, you sure about this? You sure you want to do this?
Right.
So, like, I don't think Spielberg, because he hasn't worked with Netflix, knows that. I feel like there are people who have worked with Netflix and just go, oh, this is great because I can do whatever I want.
Mm.
And Spielberg's just like, well, I'm Spielberg, so I can only do whatever I want. So, I mean,
right.
Think about it like that.
Yeah, I think he's taken more of kind of the old age kind of view on it, honestly, is mm-hmm. what I think he kind of got trapped into there. But like I said, I think Netflix does great stuff, man. Honestly, I don't know how I would live without Netflix. I mean, for the simple fact, my son can't. I mean, anytime we need to entertain him, we turn on Netflix. You know,
mm-hmm.
and I know you're not a huge fan, but we have Hulu as well. And I love The Handmaid's Tale and some other stuff on Hulu, and everything's streaming now, dude. You know, I can't, I have a 4-year-old. A lot of people in the world have children, have a lot of stuff going on with work, and not everybody can go out to the movies every single week and see a film on the big screen. Now, I love when it happens, and mm-hmm. my wife and I try to have date night once a month, and it's great, but you know, without Netflix, I mean, I was just telling you, the Oscar movies we're seeing on my television at home because of, you know, formats like Netflix. So
mm-hmm.
I think it's a great thing. I love Spielberg. I mean, I think he's one of the best ever. And I feel like him saying this created a much louder noise than if some random
100%.
You know, director had said it. But
well, I mean, like Christopher Nolan said a similar thing a few months ago. And we were just like, we basically said the same thing, which was fuck you, Christopher Nolan.
Right, of course. And I bet you they all watch Netflix, too, which is what's so funny about all this. Okay.
I mean...
go ahead.
Sorry, real quick, though. Caleb lives in a terrible movie market. Terrible. His local movie theater gets 4 movies. Most of the time, it's a kids' movie, the big movie, and, like, 2 medium-range movies. So he doesn't get, like, the little stuff like these movies on Netflix would be.
Right.
Or, like, he didn't even get Annihilation. So we had to go through other means for him to be able to see Annihilation for the review. So, like, Netflix is important to the people who don't have... the giant movie chains and movie theaters that will, you know, put out like everything and give everyone an opportunity to see it. Like,
right. Yeah, no, I agree.
Not everyone lives in a major metropolitan area, and I think that Christopher Nolan and Steven Spielberg kind of forget that.
I agree, and we got this new service called Vudu, which is V-U-D-U, which is also really cool. And you've heard of that, I assume.
Oh, yeah.
Again, it's just changing. The world's changing, dude. Everything's more convenience, and I feel like Netflix was at the forefront of that. So anyway, Spielberg probably let his age kind of get the best of him there, in my opinion.
100%.
Let's see. John Cena. You a fan of John Cena?
Yes, I'm a big wrestling fan.
I know you are. We're actually going to be doing a top five bonus episode of our favorite wrestlers. Don't give any away now because we haven't recorded that yet, but we're going to be doing that. We got to set that up. They said that'd be like five months ago. I got to get on that. But we'll be doing that. But the reason I bring it up is John Cena is going to be playing Duke Nukem in the film based on the popular video game. Mm-hmm. I don't have the year here, but that was 80s, right? Wasn't Duke Nukem?
Early 90s, and then they did a relaunch, like in the 2010s, so it's like Duke Nukem Forever. It did not do well. Okay. I don't know why they're doing this movie. I'm going to be honest here. This character does not play well in today's climate.
It's funny that you say that, because two points I wanted to mention about it. There's no script yet. Producers have admitted that Deadpool is going to be a huge influence in the script. Right. I guess breaking the fourth wall and the whole kind of comedic approach. And then they also want to update the character so that he is not misogynistic. So it's not going to be a true Duke Nukem, I guess.
I mean, you could play it misogynistic. If you played Duke Nukem today, mm-hmm. it would have to be in like a kind of Johnny Bravo way, okay. where it's like he is a misogynist, but he like people just like girls just kick the shit out of him all the time.
Yeah.
Like they're just like, get away from me, and he just doesn't get the hint. Like he's Johnny Bravo is like, I feel like the ultimate dude bro look up to thing, because like he's just like doesn't take no for an answer. Like he doesn't obviously rape them, but like didn't take no for an answer, but like. In reality, he's like a cautionary tale, like, hey, don't be this guy. Like, and I feel like that's almost kind of what Duke Nukem needs to be for this movie to work. But
yeah.
If they're going to update him, I don't know how this is going to be any different than any other movie.
Yeah, and they never have. I mean, I don't want to say never. Maybe the first Resident Evil was okay, but I feel like they have a bad track record with movies based on video games. Don't
yes,
you?
They're all terrible.
They're all horrible. Now, what I will say is I love John Cena. I think he's hilarious. He was my favorite part of Trainwreck, the Amy Schumer film. Mm-hmm. Did you saw that?
No.
You didn't see that?
It has Amy Schumer. No.
Well, yeah, that's a good point. But what I was going to say is you could YouTube his scenes. He's only in like three or four scenes. So you mm-hmm. should definitely do that, because you don't really need the context of the whole movie to get his humor in it. But there's one scene actually in a movie theater where has an altercation with this dude, and he's trying to insult the guy, but all of his insults like are very promiscuous, as if he's like has these homosexual tendencies. Mm. And the running joke throughout the movie is that Cena is kind of closeted gay, but he doesn't know it. It's very funny. He's very funny in it. And I also love Deadpool. I mean, Deadpool was one of my favorite movies of 2016. So I can't wait for that sequel. Are you a fan of Deadpool? You saw the original?
Yeah.
So I'm excited for those reasons, but. And also, I was thinking of Doom when I originally read this. That was in the 80s, but Duke Nukem was kind of a similar game to Doom. But I don't know. We'll see. I just feel like they have a bad record. Anytime you base a movie on a video game, and if I'm forgetting some awesome ones, forgive me. But
no, you're not.
The first Resident Evil was okay. I don't know. I never saw Assassin's Creed, but I heard it was horrible. Stay away from it, you know?
Yeah.
Well, we're talking about video games. Are you a gamer? You do?
Oh, 100%.
Okay, I thought so.
I'm currently installing games on my PS3 as we talk right now.
Okay, I thought so. I'm sorry to hold you up from that.
No, you're fine.
Well, listen to this. So in Texas, they're going to be building a $10 million stadium for esports for video game playing. It will be the biggest esports stadium in our country once it's constructed. 100,000 square feet. It's going to house up to 1,000 spectators. It's going to have the...
Only 1,000?
Yeah, it's going to have the... Yeah, that's what it says here. It's going to have the vibe of a high-end sports bar. So there'll be like lounge areas, there'll be bleachers and things like that, and there'll also be large TVs and public gaming areas. You're a video gamer. I mean, is this... Where are we going to be in 20 years, Dan? What do you think? I mean, is this going to be like a normal kind of like sports venue? Every major city going to have one of these? Or what do you think?
I do think so. I used to watch League of Legends a lot. I watched a lot of PUBG now, PlayerUnknown Battleground. And those are all like those quote-unquote esports. I kind of refuse to say esports. It's not a sport to me. I recognize it, but it's not a sport to me. But like I'll just say gaming, like professional gaming.
Right.
But like they pull in tens of thousands of people on a daily. Like I spend most of my day watching people play video
games. That's crazy, man.
So, like, and Like, they've sold out the Staples Center. They've sold out, like, giant freaking stadiums before.
Yeah, I saw there was I saw there was one League of Legends tournament that, like, drew, like, 50,000 people, like, in person or something like that.
Yeah, so that's why it kind of shocked me. That it was like, hey, we have 1,000 people. Like, this is enough seating for 1,000 people. I'm just like, what? That doesn't compute with me.
Right. I guess there's nothing like that in the country at this point, though. So, it would be the biggest one in America. But, well, let me ask you then, because I used to play a lot of video games. I don't know if you ever heard of the game Quake, but I used to play a lot of versions of that online, and we would do a lot of tournaments for Team Fortress and stuff like that. I haven't been involved in it in probably about 10 years, but when I was, I mean, it was every day, 3, 4, 5 hours a day, and it was really kind of like a second job, to be honest with you, because I did it so often.
Oh, yeah.
But let me ask you, as somebody that's into it now, I mean, what's the draw for you? Because you just said you'll sit there and watch other people play. Why do you do that? What would be the answer as to why that entertains you?
I'm bored.
Fair enough. All right.
That's really it. Like, I could play the game, or I could just watch someone else get really frustrated with the game that they're playing and, you know, laugh at them. Well, so, or watch them do extremely well. Like, most of the time, I'm either watching someone extremely entertaining or someone very good.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you saw, you know who, Turtle from Entourage? Did you ever watch Entourage?
No.
I can't remember his real name for some reason. Crap, I should have wrote it down. I can't remember his real name, but he played Turtle on Entourage. But he was just on the Dan Patrick show the other day, and he plays Fortnite. You heard of Fortnite?
Yeah, Fortnite's super popular.
And it's right super popular, and like there was a streaming video of Drake playing against him, and
that was
Schuster Smith from the Steelers, I think. And
yeah, that was a huge night for gaming.
Right,
it was like,
right.
You got like celebrity after celebrity. Like you got Drake, you had Kim.com, you had Juju Smith-Schuster. There was a third guy I can't remember right now. Yeah. But they were playing with this Fortnite streamer, Ninja. And everyone's like, oh man, this guy is now the most popular streamer. And then like 3 days later, he's back down to his normal streaming numbers of like 30,000, which, you know, isn't anything to sneeze
right,
at.
Right.
But like he was pulling in like 500,000, 600,000 people with Drake and Juju and Kim.com. It's just like, oh my God. Like, you're like, oh man, have we finally hit it? And then like a few days later, the hype wore off and we're back down to normal times.
Yeah, but you know, people, it's like Twitter kind of. You get a window into that celebrity world. It's kind of cool, you know, like you're just for a few minutes, you can see what they're, it's like you're a fly on the wall to what they're doing in their life. You know, it's kind of weird, but anyway, that just interests me because I used to love playing all the time, but I don't know that I would ever watch other people play. I did see him when he was on talking about Fortnite. He was saying that he watches Ninja and other people play so that he can get pointers for when he plays. And that made sense.
Yeah, that's kind of it.
And that made sense, too.
I mainly watch games that I'm playing.
Gotcha.
And mainly it has to be, like, a game that has no story, because I don't want, like, if I want a story game, I'm going to play it.
Yeah.
But if I want to watch just, like, Fortnite or PlayerUnknown's Battleground or League of Legends or Call of Duty or CSGO, like, I'm there watching the multiplayer action. I'm not there for a story. I'm just there to watch people be good at the game.
Right. I feel that, brother. All right, so look out for that if you're in Texas. It's going to be a giant, what they're calling an esports stadium in Texas for video games.
Professional gaming.
Professional gaming is what Dan calls it, which I like better, too. Let's see, man. How do you feel about boy bands? You into that?
I was.
So, you know, Blink-182 let us in, which I know you're a fan of Blink-182, but that's punk. That's
not a boy
punk
band.
Rock. It's not boy band.
Yeah.
But, hey, I mean, but boy bands are fun. So who's your favorite boy band if you had to pick one?
Well, I think it's the group that you're trying to lead me into.
Yeah, I hope so. But NSYNC is my favorite. Do you know why?
No.
You know why? Justin Timberlake. So I'm a big
JC, man.
JC. I'm a big JT fan, and obviously he started with NSYNC. But NSYNC is going to be receiving a collective star on the Walk of Fame. And what's really cool is the walkoffame.com that does these and like airs them on their website and stuff is going to be doing it purposely on April 30th, which is the last day before it's going to be May, which you've seen the meme that went just blew up like 5 years ago.
It annoys me to death.
I love it.
Like the first couple years, I'm like, oh, this is funny. And now I'm just like, oh my God, shut
it
up.
It just cracks me up, you know? But I'm a huge NSYNC fan, JT fan, and every time I see that meme, it just cracks me up. There is no word on whether all five members will be reuniting for the special event. However, most of them did mention it and celebrated on Twitter on Tuesday. It also is interesting to note that Justin Timberlake is going to be on tour in LA 2 days around that date on April 30th. So he will be in town. So we'll see. But you got JT, you got Lance Bass, Joey Fatone, who I've met, by the way, JC Chazes, and Chris Kirkpatrick. Which one of those is gay? Lance Bass is gay, right?
Lance is gay. If you remember the movie Tropic Thunder.
Oh yeah, that's right. That's right.
The one I can't remember the character's name, but he at the end of the movie he is seen with Lance Bass.
That's accurate. That's accurate. Okay, last thing we're going to mention on our entertainment bookend here, brother. So you're a hockey guy, I know, because you know we talk in outside of podcasting. So I know you're a hockey fan. Are you in? I know you give me shit because I'm a Tar Heel fan and you are not, but are you a college basketball?
College sports are stupid because there's just too many teams to care about. Like, it's just like, all right, here's these top 25 teams to look at, and that's only the 25. There's about 1,000 more of them.
Right.
I'm just like, I don't have time for
this. Well, with that being said, that's why March Madness is kind of cool, though, because anybody can, you know, you get in and then it's in a single elimination. Anybody can beat anybody. Mm-hmm. And with that being said, the reason I bring it up is I was going to announce the Final Four is set. So we have our Final Four. The games are on Saturday, and then the championship is on Monday evening. Mm-hmm. Here's your Final Four: Kansas, Villanova, Michigan, and Loyola Chicago. Now, Loyola Chicago is an 11 seed, and they're one of those teams that you're kind of talking about where they're never in the top 25. They're never in a national discussion. Andy went to school there and joked last week that he didn't even know they had a basketball team. but I had to give him a shout out because that's Andy's alma mater, but
right
in Chicago. So what? Let's give a quick prediction. Now I kind of already did. So my team's still in it. Michigan is my prediction. I think they're gonna walk home with it. Kansas and Villanova are number one seeds, and then like I said, Loyola Chicago is definitely an underdog here. What do you think? Just throw a team out there. I know you don't watch, but I want everybody to have your prediction so you can come back and talk shit when you're right.
Loyola Chicago.
Wow.
Because anarchy rules.
Wow, Dan out here dropping bombs. Loyola Chicago, national champs. Wow.
I'm not following this at all. I just want an 11 seed to win just so everyone loses their mind and realizes they have no idea what they're talking about ever.
Right. Be like, hey, Dan Brennick told you guys. I don't know what the hell y'all are doing. You need to watch more Netflix. All right. Let's take a quick promo break, Dan. I tell you what, I think I'm going to spin your promo.
Okay.
I think I'm going to spin you and Caleb.
Go for it. Please realize that I am not doing a Chinese boy accent like other people think. I am doing the Hurley boy from SNL.
Did somebody accuse you of doing a Chinese accent?
Yeah. Someone's like, are you're doing a Chinese accent? I'm like, no. Have you ever seen the Hurley boy?
Wow. Today's day and age, brother. You got to be careful with that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But Hurley boy's okay. All right, we'll take a quick promo break. Here's Netflix and Swills promo. Dan joining us, one half of that duo. And then when we come back, we will get deep. A new meaning to that topic on One Deep Topic, because we're going to be discussing Miss Stormy Daniels again. Hope you did a lot of research on Stormy. A lot of information can be found on Pornhub and some other devices.
YouPorn, other places.
So stand by. We'll talk about her 60 Minutes interview when we come back, Dan.
Hello, we are from Netflix and Swill Podcast. Let me review Netflix shows for you, please. It would mean so much to me if you let me review Netflix for you. Somebody's gotta review them. Why can't it be me?
Come on, let the boy review Netflix shows for you.
Hi, hello, are you good? Good. Let me drink crappy alcohol and make jokes for you. I'm already gonna be reviewing Netflix for you. Just say yes to me drinking crappy alcohol. Honestly and sincerely, I'd like to make jokes for you to laugh at.
He's a good, hard-working boy. Let him drink some beer and make jokes.
Please don't make me watch the one-star movies.
He's a nice boy! Watch your own damn shitty movies! For God's sake!
Download Netflix and Swill, please. I'll put all our episodes on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play, and Podbean. Please download our episodes. I already started watching the one-star movies. If you didn't want to listen to our show, why'd you let me watch the one-star movies?
Can we stop this cruel game and allow the boy to keep one shred of dignity? For God's sake! I can't stand to see him in all this pain! So just listen to Netflix and Swill! For the love of God, let the boy review Netflix for you!
Ooh yeah! You might been hurt, babe.
All right, guys, welcome back in. Two Peas on a Podcast, episode 67. Gerald is here. Andy is not here. If you've been listening, you're aware of that. But my good friend Dan, who you can hear on Netflix and Swill, is joining me today, and he's discussing some of these recent hot topics and current events of the week. Dan, I appreciate you being here, brother.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
As I said, and we're going to get into our one deep topic. So every week we discuss kind of the biggest, if you will, news topic of the week. There was a couple different ones this week, but Dan specifically didn't want to go too far into the gun discussion because he was afraid his mind might explode. So I threw him a bone there, and I said, all right, you know, we could back off the guns a little bit. And quite frankly...
Also, I don't want to look bad because my opinion on guns is just totally different from everything I've heard on the
show. That's okay, man. And it's okay to have a differing opinion, too, but I understand. And what I was going to say is, frankly, I'm tired of talking about it. I got to be honest with you, just because it's just we're not going to change anybody's mind.
I think what you guys should do is that onion thing where it's like senseless tragedy could not have been prevented. It says only country that this happens in. Like the onion does that.
Yep.
You guys should just record like an evergreen version of that and just throw that in as your one deep topic.
You know what?
Anytime there's a mass shooting.
That's actually a good idea because that I know that was a spoof and we talked about that after the Vegas shooting. I don't know if you recall, but that's just interesting that they. Even a comedic, if you will, kind of spoof is able to illustrate the impact of what's going on. Again, I don't want to get too far into it because I know you had a request to do otherwise. So you know what?
Yeah.
And this is actually a pretty big story as well. So a few weeks ago, I don't remember the episode, I'm sorry, but Andy and I got in and just discussed Stormy Daniels, which is the adult film actress. Let me give everyone a quick wrap up. So she's the adult film star that allegedly, according to her and people close to her, had sex with Donald Trump in 2006. Mm-hmm. Of course, this was way before he was president, but it was about 10, 11 years ago. And it was shortly after his son Barron had been born. He was married to Melania, just recently been married to Melania at the time. Mm-hmm. And a kind of short texting social affair occurred with them after the fact for about a year or so. It's all coming up now because there was a $130,000 payoff from Trump's attorney, Michael Cohen, to Stormy a week before the election in 2016, in October of 2016. Mm-hmm. And there was also a non-disclosure agreement that went along with that, quote, payoff, if you will, or hush money or whatever you want to call it, that she would not discuss the affair beyond that point after receiving the $130,000. What's kind of happened in the last month or two is it's come out and she wants to talk about it. And her attorney, which I don't have his name, but her attorney is going on the grounds that the non-disclosure agreement is not valid because Trump never signed it. She was the only one that signed it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of where we are now. In the last month, she's been on a few different interviews. She went on Jimmy Kimmel Live and didn't really give a whole lot of information. She was just kind of a fun little interview. And she also went on Inside Edition and was very non-forthcoming in that interview as well. But the most forthcoming interview that she's had was this past Sunday night with Anderson Cooper on 60 Minutes over on CBS. Did you get a chance to watch that, Dan?
No, I refuse to watch interviews. I just read the transcript.
Oh, okay. All right. So, but you saw most of what was said there.
I heard about one question on Twitter, and I just went, well, that question seems unnecessary, and then just went, I'll just read the transcript.
Okay. Yeah, there was a lot of kind of weird...
I'll bring up that question, because to me, that question has absolutely no bearing on the interview whatsoever. Like, it should never have even been asked.
Okay, well, why don't you tell me now, then, and then we'll kind of spin off, and because I have a couple takeaways from the interview, too, but go ahead. So what was that one?
Okay, so why even ask if Trump used a condom? Like, what was the point of that question even existing? Like, there... I can't even fathom what Anderson Cooper is trying to think of when he asks that question.
Right.
Like, what's the point of it?
Well, I don't know, to be honest with you. It didn't hit me. I watched the interview in its entirety, not Sunday, but I think Monday, the day after. That particular question, it did kind of stand out, but it didn't hit me kind of like what you're saying. Like, this is fucking crazy. But I think maybe a lot of the questions, including the... And I actually put on here that there were some weird ones, because... There were some that he asked that you would say are, quote, important for the investigation of what's going on.
Right.
And then there are some that kind of felt like they were more for the audience to kind of gasp to.
Were you attracted to him is another one.
Right.
And I'm just like,
yeah,
who cares?
Yeah. Like, you know, oh, and then in the very beginning of the interview, they kind of talked about a story where she spanked him with a magazine. You remember that?
Yeah, I guess that's kind of important because you're. I think that one's okay because you're trying to get like a sense of Trump's character. It's like, all right, he talked about himself, and then she stood up to him, and then he wanted to learn more about her.
Right, right.
I think that's interesting into Trump's character, but asking about the condom, asking if she was attracted to him. Like, that's just beyond weird to me.
I got to be honest. I feel like it was more for, and I respect Anderson Cooper a lot. I like him a lot. I feel like it was more for getting the audience to kind of gasp at certain questions. Like, oh my God, he didn't use a condom, you know, like somebody hears that.
Yeah, it felt more like a hit piece. And I mean, like, how this already is a hit piece. You don't need to hit piece it even more on Trump.
Right. So what? Okay, so I went through most of the facts, if you will, about what was in the interview, what was in the heart of the interview there. So what's kind of weird to me and what I think is hurting Stormy Daniels here? And Anderson, to his credit, kind of called her out on it a little bit.
Yeah.
But she signed a statement that said that she did not have sex with Trump on three different occasions.
Right.
Three different statements. Once before the election and twice in January. So three different ones, if I have that right.
Yeah, that's weird that like a few weeks, like she signs one and then like a few weeks later, it's like, hey, sign this again.
Right. So I don't know, man. I mean, I guess obviously we don't know. Really only Stormy and Trump know, to be honest with you. But, you know, I tend to believe her just because I'm biased more than anything else. But I just don't see, I've said this on the show a million times and so has Andy, but I just don't see Trump as a good dude. Do you know what I mean? So I could very easily see him cheating on his wife. Like that would be... No shock at all would come over my face if I found that out.
I mean, isn't he already a known philanderer as it is?
Yeah, he is. Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm not surprised that he would cheat on his wife, especially with a porn star at that time.
Right. And she was super popular at the time, too. So
this isn't going to excuse Trump, but like his wife had just given birth to her son. And as you know, having children, your wife cannot typically have intercourse several weeks after the birthing. So right. Like maybe he's wanting something. It's just like, oh, a porn star. I got it.
Right. And Trump being the guy that he is, like I said, I'm not going to be shocked that if this turns out to be true. How do you, of course, we don't know, but I mean, what do you think? I mean, do you think she's telling the truth here? Do you think she's kind of fluffing the story a little bit? Because obviously Trump and everybody are completely denying it, and they're saying, look at her.
As you should. You know. I mean, when people chastise people for denying things that will be potentially damning to them, I go, I mean, if you were in this situation, you'd be getting told the exact same thing, and you would be doing the exact same thing. So why are you chastising this person for denying? But I kind of side with Stormy, because, like, why would you open yourself up to lawsuits?
Yeah.
To criticism, if you're not telling, if you're just straight up lying, why would you potentially cost yourself $20 million?
Yeah, exactly.
To lie and say that you didn't have sex.
And that's another point that I didn't mention. What Dan's talking about there is there's a clause in the non-disclosure agreement that if she mentions it publicly, each infraction or each breach of the clause is $1 million fine. So, right, is that what you're referring to? So she mentioned it 20 times, supposedly. It would be $20 million.
Also, they have also put it up to, I think they've actually filed a lawsuit now.
When you say they, you mean Trump's people?
Trump's people. I think Michael Cohen actually has. Yeah. On behalf of Trump.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like this is a prime hush money. You know, I feel like they were trying to get her to be quiet. She wanted to be quiet. She was like, okay, you know, it's not going to damage my reputation. I'm getting $130,000. You know, I don't want my kids. She has young kids. You know, I don't want them to be hearing all this stuff, which of course they are now. So some people are going to say that she took the money. She signed the thing that says I didn't have sex with him. So they're going to just look at that. They're going to say, why'd you take the money if you wanted to come out and talk about it and it didn't happen or whatever? So, you know, I side with her. I mean, if I have to pick, I'm siding with her. What I wanted to ask you is what I think, and we can wrap up on this kind of thought if you would like, but I just feel like it's weird how this kind of story, like even you and I talking about it now, it's like normal. Mm-hmm. It's like normalized.
Yeah, it's the new normal.
Like it's like, okay, let's go ahead and talk about our president's past affair with a porn star. And it's like, no big deal. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's the new normal. I mean, like, I didn't vote for Trump. I know people who have voted for Trump and now have Trumper's remorse. And I don't know. It's just going to feel like four wasted years, honestly, at the end of it. Because I don't see him getting reelected. But this is, I mean, I thought for a while this country was better than this. Like, you've seen other scandals for other world leaders and stuff like that. But then you get to this and you're just like, well, turns out we're not better than everybody. And we've actually, like, we've honestly begun the descent into Idiocracy, that Mike Judge movie.
Right.
So, like, We just need somebody who isn't this guy. Like, we just need to not have celebrities be presidential candidates, because I don't think they know what they're doing at all.
That's true too. It's just funny how it's not strange to us now in the Trump era. Because I did you live through the Bill Clinton thing? How old are you? Were you around for that?
Oh no, I was around. I wasn't paying attention to that. Yeah, but yeah, that was pretty big. And
yeah,
you know, it's the first thing he points out. Like he's a why not, but like, but what about? And mm-hmm. but what about Bill? Bill did it under like in office, and he's right. In office, he. You know, Bill did do that, but I wouldn't be surprised if Trump was also doing that as well.
Right, right. You know, what I was going to say is it's just, I lived through that. I was a political science major in college when that happened, when that scandal came to light. So that was a big topic for us in school, and it was all over the news, obviously. And it was kind of right in the Renaissance era for like media, news media and stuff like that. So it was a big deal, but it was just so taboo and like shocking because it's just like, oh my God, our president, you know, is getting BJs and he got caught, you know. Mm-hmm. It was just such a crazy thing. But it's like if any story that comes out about Trump tomorrow morning, we could wake up and see a story that, you know, Trump took a dump in somebody's mouth and we would just be like, okay,
yeah,
another day in Trump's America. You know, it's just really weird to me. And I hope we can go forward after 2020 and not stay on this kind of where we've kind of stooped down to that level. And, I'm not trying to make this particular conversation a hit piece on Trump. Like I said, I just don't feel like he's a good guy. You know, I just...
No.
Policy aside, you know, and I'm not saying I agree with his policy either, but I'm just saying policy aside, I just don't feel like he's a good person, you know. And that's why with these things with the Stormy Daniels affair come up, I'm just like, yeah, of course he did it. I mean, you know,
yeah.
Of course I'm going to side with her on that, you know. So it's just a weird thing, man. I can't wait till 2020 for one. And if he gets reelected, I'll be fucking shocked.
I'd be beyond shocked.
I'd be blown away.
If he does.
Now, of course, we don't know who he's running against, but I would just be shocked, man. I mean, there's just so much division in the country since he took office. You know, whether you agree with Obama's policies or not, I don't think anybody would look back at 2014 or 15 and go, man, the country was so fucking divided back then.
Yeah.
At least if you compare it to, you know, 2018.
I did want to bring up one.
Go ahead.
Thing.
Yeah, sure.
And so Stormy Daniels at the beginning of the interview says, well, this isn't about #MeToo.
Mm-hmm.
But then like she goes through her night with Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm.
And like, so it hits the point where she exits the bathroom and there he is perched on the bed. And she's like, mm-hmm. oh, no, what have I gotten myself into?
Yeah.
And I'm just like, boy, this sure sounds like a lot of the shit that Harvey Weinstein did.
Yeah.
I don't know how it's not Me Too in that
yeah,
sense. Like, I don't get
it
that.
It does. I feel like that's a kind of an eye in the beholder point of view. You know what I mean? I feel like that's mm-hmm. maybe her point of view because I feel like, I mean, let's be honest. She's a porn star, so she's having sex every day with technically with strangers. You know, so I feel like maybe she was the type of person, and again, I'm not, no way she would listen to this, but I'm not trying to offend her, but I just feel like she's the kind of person that would be a little more freewheeling with her body and having sex with people, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
She's a little more apt to succumb to what's happening around her. And I feel like in the Harvey Weinstein case, a lot of those women that I've seen stories reported on is they feel like they almost had to in order to advance their careers or
right.
stay employed or, you know, whatever. Whereas Stormy was just more like, oh, okay, he knows the kind of person I am. And, you know, I shouldn't have come up here unless I wanted to do this. Do you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Yeah. I'm not saying that justifies it. I'm just saying it's probably she doesn't see herself as a, quote, victim of the Me Too campaign, which I don't either, frankly.
I mean, if she says she knows what she was getting herself into, but you kind of feel like with those actresses and Harvey Weinstein, it's like, well, I kind of know what I have to get into to advance too. So like, I'm not saying the victims are wrong. I'm saying I see a lot of similarities between Stormy Daniels and the Harvey Weinstein.
No, I can see that too. And honestly, you know what I see? This is almost a mirror image of is the one with Aziz Ansari, which. By the way, I love Master of None on Netflix. Have you seen that yet?
I have. I watched the first season. It just didn't grip me.
Oh, really?
It's funny at times, but like, yeah. I didn't
mean to get off on a side.
No.
But we hadn't talked about that yet, but I love that show. My wife and
yeah,
I watched
it. Yeah, no, the Aziz Ansari thing was like, this is a bad day.
Exactly. And that's kind of like what this is more to me is like, and again, I don't want to get in trouble with Me Too proponents and stuff like that. I just feel like there's a difference between being assaulted sexually by someone in power and being in a situation where you just regret it later.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying. So I feel like the Aziz Ansari kind of scandal, if you will, mirrors a little bit what Stormy maybe went through in 2006. Whereas the Me Too is really I don't necessarily want to use the word rape, although it is in certain cases, but
yeah,
it's just, you're just in a situation where you were abused by someone in power. You know what I mean? So they're a little bit different, but I can definitely see the similarities there. Well, look, man, what you want to wrap up anything on Stormy there? Are you good? You want to have any final thought on that?
Yeah, I mean, there's one final thing, and like I feel like this isn't going to get talked about enough, but like they're saying with the campaign laws, like Michael Cohen made $130,000 donation to the Trump campaign by paying off Stormy Daniels. And I'm just like, what cockamamie bullshit is this? Like, are you kidding? Like, that can be seen as a campaign contribution? Yeah. I need to read these laws, because that does not sound right to me or to me, any reasonable human being.
I know. I think intangibly, you're right. Abstractly, I think it's more like a loophole type deal where it's like, because it could be argued, and of course this would have to be argued and have to be proven in court, but it could be argued that that $130,000, which was given to her before the election, swayed the election positively. Therefore, he made a contribution that ended up benefiting the candidate in this case, because had the affair gotten out on October 28th, he may not have won the election.
I mean, I guess from that perspective, sure, yeah. But I don't know.
I mean, it's definitely an abstract kind of point of view, but I think that's what they're trying to say.
I mean, there are people who are way smarter than me that get paid way more than me to know more about these laws, but just to my common sense, that just did not.
No, seem yeah, right. It's definitely not a run-of-the-mill contribution, that's for sure. Hey, man, you need some money for any porn stars you slept with? I got some extra laying around.
Yeah.
All right, brother. Well, that was fun, man. You know, I don't know. This isn't going to hurt Trump, though, right? I mean, I don't think his base is going to ever leave him. I got to be honest.
I mean, like I said, I know people who voted for Trump and now regret it. So
yeah. I don't know. I saw this roundtable CNN did of women voters that were Republican that voted for Trump, kind of defending his affair with Stormy. And it was just fucking crazy to me, man. I'm just like, they just don't. You know, my mother's a supporter. Of course, I love her. She's my mom. But he's not doing anything for her personally. That's why I try to tell her. I'm like, Mom, why? And it's just like a blind kind of follow. It's just weird.
Yeah, my mom is the person that has been like, it's just like, she was like, I think he can do some good. And now, like a year later, she's like, oh, my God, it is nothing but a shit show.
Right. All right, man. Let's get into some more fun stuff. You want to? We'll take another quick break. We'll run a promo. And we come back, we will wrap up with our pop culture stuff. We got a few fun things to talk about, buddy.
Sounds good.
Sit tight.
If those clips made you wish for the good old days of television, I've got great news. Rabbit Ears is a new TV podcast inspired by the days of foil-covered television antennas, rainbow-barred screens, and the national anthem signaling the end of the day's broadcast. Each episode, we look back on a beloved show, ranging from the golden age of television to more modern classics. With the help of a superfan guest host, we'll review, discuss, and reminisce about some of the most culturally impactful shows ever to air on television. You can find us on Instagram, follow us on Twitter at Rabbit Ears TV Pod, like us on Facebook, and download episodes on iTunes, Stitcher, and Podient. Thanks for listening.
Welcome back in, guys. Two Piece episode 67. Gerald is here with my special guest host, Dan, from Netflix and Swill.
Hello.
One half of that duo. We're not swilling today, though, because it's morning.
No, it is.
It's too early.
10:15.
It's too early. Is it ever too early for beer, though? Let's be honest.
Yes, there's beer, mimosas, no.
Okay, I was going to say, what's your cutoff? So you'll do the mimosas no matter what. Bloody Mary, you do that?
No, I mean, I like every single component that goes into a Bloody Mary, but there's something about it that just does not work.
Really? Yeah. One of the coolest things to me is when these restaurants, like the House of Blues does it, where they'll have a Bloody Mary bar for breakfast. On Sundays, and you just have all these different ingredients that you can put in your Bloody Mary, like lobster tails and shit. So that was always really fun.
Yeah.
Let's see, man. We got some pop culture stuff here to wrap up on the episode 67. So John Oliver, who does show over on HBO over there, you watch that show?
I watched the clips on YouTube.
Okay, all right. He's a funny guy. He was on The Daily Show for a while. But he put out a kid's book, a children's book, that's called A Day in the Life of Marlon Bundo. Now, the interesting fact here is that the book is based on Mike Pence's family's actual pet bunny. They have a bunny rabbit.
Mm-hmm.
And in the book that John Oliver wrote, it's a spoof that the bunny is gay.
Yeah.
And I don't think I have to tell you, but obviously Mike Pence is against gay marriage, very conservative views. And this is more kind of like a slap in the face from John Oliver here, I would think.
Yeah.
What did you saw this story? Did you see this?
Oh, yeah. No, yeah. Good for this. Fuck Mike Pence.
Yeah.
I mean, that guy sucks. I mean, like, we talk about Trump. I know. Like, oh, my God, there might be an even bigger monster behind Trump. Like, Trump treats people terribly, but fucking Mike Pence is like, if you are not a white dude, go fuck yourself. I am your new lord.
Yeah, and you know what's funny about that is the Roseanne reboot's been getting a lot of news lately because, you know, that premiered this week, which I haven't had. I was actually going to watch it today. I haven't had a chance to see it yet. But in the show and on real life, Roseanne is a Trump supporter, voted for Trump, and still supports him today in interviews that, you know, just happened last week.
Right.
And what's funny about that is that, you know, people will ask her about her loyalty to it and stuff like that. And it kind of, what she'll say is she'll say, do you want Mike Pence in there? Like, and she's got a point. Now, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I don't. I'm not. I'd rather take 4 years of nothing than 4 years of regressivism under Mike Pence.
Yeah, and I'm not saying I'm a Trump fan, but I'm just saying if he gets impeached, look what we got here. You know what I mean? It's not going to be all unicorns and roses.
And I'm fairly confident that Mike Pence has kept his nose out of everything that Trump does. So that, I feel like he hedged his bet and just went, this is my chance to gain some political clout by like hitching my trailer to this fucking idiot here who is going to do something stupid, get impeached, and then I can be in the office.
There you go. There you go. Let's see. So John Oliver's book jumped to number one on Amazon.com. It was out of stock within 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the only bestseller inspired by the Trump administration on the bestseller list. Right now, number two is James Comey's A Higher Loyalty and a book called Russian Roulette, which is inspired by the Russian investigation. So the top three books right now on Amazon are all inspired by Trump's presidency. That should tell you something. And none of them are positive.
Right, exactly.
So
it's hard to be positive about this administration. It really is.
It's tough, man. So listen, brother, are you a flat earther? What do you think? You think the Earth's flat? You think it's round? What do you got? Announce it on the show. What do you think?
It's round, yeah, it's round. Because everybody fucking ever has told me it is round. I've seen evidence that it is round.
You've seen evidence? Wow.
Yeah.
Well, not with your own eyes.
The Elon Musk photo.
The car going around the car's face. Yeah. Well, you know, they think that's an elaborate hoax as well. They think that's like a green screen thing. Which, I mean, technically he could do that, but I believe.
I mean, he could. He's Elon Musk, but.
So here.
Don't even get me started.
So here we go. So there's a guy named, and here's his nickname, which should give you a hint, but his nickname is Mad Mike. So Mad Mike Hughes of a town called Amboy, California, launched himself 1,875 feet into the air on a self-made rocket. He did this in the hopes of seeing that the Earth is flat and being able to prove it with his own eyes. He used two parachutes to fall back down to Earth. It was a hard landing, he said. He acknowledged that it wasn't a smart venture and that, quote, this thing could have killed me 10 different ways. He also says, do I believe the Earth is shaped like a Frisbee? Yes, I do. Do I know for sure? No, that's why I wanted to go up in space. He's also working on a balloon that's going to take him at least 68 miles above the Earth's surface. So you see all the flat earth theories. You know that's a whole thing, right? Like the flat earth society.
Yeah, and basically anybody who believes that and is an idiot. if you listen to my show and you're a flat earther, please never listen to my show because I don't need your stupidity rubbing off on
it's
me.
It's just really weird that in 28... Now, if this is something, and maybe it was, I don't know when the flat earth society started, but if this was something like back in the 60s, 70s, even 80s, I could be like, okay, you know, like, but in 2018 with people like Elon Musk and the internet.
We've gone to space enough. Here's the problem with every single conspiracy theory. The requirements for every single conspiracy theory to exist are that everyone who knows about it shuts up about it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And you can't, I know for a fact, you cannot keep that many people quiet. Get the fuck out of here. They're, it's insane. It's insane. These people are insane.
Yeah, I flipped the switch. Dan's turned on, guys. Here he is. I like it. You're getting animated, brother. Well, you're really going to like this one then. All right. So Dan thinks the Earth is flat. So next topic.
No.
I'm kidding. You don't. You think it's round. I do too. Let's see. How about this, though? Should ketchup be in the liquid form? That's the next hot topic here. So we're getting close to the end. We only got a couple more here. So there's a company called Bose Original Slice of Sauce. It is a campaign that started on Kickstarter. Let's see. It's championing a new kind of ketchup, specifically the kind that you can place on your sandwiches in slice form. So they are like a slice of cheese, basically, but they're doing a ketchup and they're also doing a mustard. The first two in the line are ketchup and mustard. There's more to come. So you'll just throw them on there like a slice of cheese. They've already succeeded and reached their $15,000 goal on Kickstarter with money pouring in every day. The internet's kind of torn. Some people love it. Some people hate it. How do you feel, Dan Brennick?
This is fucking stupid. This is the dumbest thing. Like, we could be putting $15,000 towards something that actually means something. Like, I guess people want, like, the perfect portion of ketchup on their hamburger, and I'm just like, motherfucker, just squeeze it on your bun and spread it around with a knife. How hard is this?
Yeah, well, it's not as messy either. You know, it's not as messy. I don't want to do it either. You know, my wife had a nickname. Actually, I haven't asked her about this yet. I need to ask her about this, but she had a nickname when she was growing up. She told me the ketchup kid, because she used to put ketchup on everything.
Would she just eat it by itself?
Yeah, she'd eat it by itself.
That'd be disgusting.
She'd eat it by herself. She put it on everything. So, you know, anytime they would go out to a restaurant, she'd ask for extra ketchup, no matter what she was eating. So I need to ask her about this. I wonder if she'd be into this. I feel like she probably is OG, though. You know, she probably wants the ketchup. Where you have to, like, pound it out of the bottle and, like, you know, fucking
yeah, you got
beat
you
it.
Gotta hit it on the
senseless.
Heinz 57. That's the
that's right. I do know that trick as well. Never works for me though, but I do know that trick. All right, listen. Are you do? I know you love music. We talked about that. Do you do digital downloads or are you buying CDs? What are you doing?
Oh no, I'm doing digital. Okay. I'm 100%. I try to be as digital as possible.
It's all, you know, it's convenience, brother. We talked about that earlier with Netflix. Well, yeah. I just want to announce this. I thought it was interesting. For the first time since 2011, CDs and vinyl records are outselling digital downloads in America. So first time. What do you think?
I don't understand.
Yeah, surprising? It's a little surprising.
I carry around this little iPhone with me everywhere, and this has all my music on it. So, like, I don't understand why people are buying physical media still.
So you're not one of those people that you hear something different on a vinyl record than you hear on a digital track?
I mean,
track.
I don't own a vinyl player. I own one vinyl record. Actually, I own two vinyl records. One, and the one is just a promotional. I'm never gonna put it on a record player. But, like, I don't own a record player. I know people who have record players that, you know, say, oh, man, I can hear the quality. I'm like, I've never really listened to a record on a record player before. So
speaking of I don't know. Speaking of going into space and all that, Jack White of the White Stripes wants to be the first man to play a record on the moon, and he's actually working with Elon Musk to get up there to play a record on the moon. So there.
I mean,
so
he also banned cell phones from his concerts, and people were
yeah,
up about
he
that.
Did. He's
and I'm just like
he's very old school.
Good. I'm like good because like. You're holding your phone up there like this, like some jackass. Someone behind you is trying to watch, but they're like only seeing your iPhone screen. It's like,
right.
Are you ever going to watch that video of Jack White playing ever again? Like, you're going to post it to YouTube and it's going to get taken down because Jack White's going to take it down. Like, what are you hoping to accomplish?
Yeah, I agree with like living in the moment. And I agree with that because, you know, when I was going to concerts in the 80s and 90s, you couldn't take cell phone video. So I had to literally make a memory in my mind. And just I have that forever. Do you know what I mean? But I also I also see the other side because it's like I wish I could have been able to film it because as you get older, the memories start to fade and so on and so forth. But I agree with him for the most part.
I'm that person that takes the one picture right as they start and then I put the phone away and I don't touch it again.
Yeah. I feel that, brother. Last thing, okay? And I don't think you saw this because it happened yesterday. I just sent it. I didn't get to send it to you last night when I sent you the agenda. But you know Savannah Guthrie of the Today Show? Are you familiar with her?
Yeah, I know of her.
So if you want to Google it real quick, Savannah Guthrie's on-air slip-up. So they're coming back from commercial yesterday on the Today Show, which is obviously a morning kind of wrap-up news show. Mm-hmm. And she said shit on air as she was looking over her read for when they came back from commercial. I guess they came back early. And she said, what is this shit? And then they cut her mic and she kept kind of talking. And, you know, what I thought was interesting is Savannah Guthrie is the sweetest part. Like, I would have never in a million. I honestly would never thought she said a cuss word in her whole life. Like, she's so sweet and wholesome. In my mind, she doesn't cuss. She doesn't swear. So she went on Twitter after the debacle and she said, quote, check, is this thing on? Yeah, I guess it is. So sorry, guys. Thanks for being kind and understanding. And I guess it's a good thing I don't wear a mic all day. Hashtag, oh, darn. Which is more what what I would think she would say. How do you feel about Savannah? Savannah, I got a loop for you, by the way, which goes with this.
Yeah, how do you feel about Savannah? I kind of don't care about swearing. I think swearing is the least important thing that we deal with. I mean, people like we normalize sex and violence in our media, and I think swearing is the least offensive thing that we could do.
Yeah, did you ever see that that video of Bill O'Reilly when he had his fucking flip out? Did you ever see that?
Yeah, fuck it. We'll do it live. Yeah, of course. Yeah. Everyone's seen that.
Wow,
video.
That was crazy. So here's your lube, Dan. You ready? Okay, so thanks for joining me. I'm going to let you sell your show here at the end, but you know I throw Andy for a loop every week.
Right, right.
So I have a loop for you. If you need a minute to think about it, that's fine. I have editing tools at my disposal if there's any dead air. So let's see. In honor of Savannah Guthrie, what celebrity or popular person, whatever, would you love to hear swear on air unknowingly? Somebody that you would not typically expect to be swearing.
I mean, along the same lines, Al Roker would be kind of hilarious.
That would be funny. Although I feel like he probably has a potty mouth, but that would be funny. You want me to tell you mine?
Yeah.
All right, I got mine here. Shout out to Ashley over at Rabbit Ear. She's going to love this one. Betty White is mine.
Oh, I mean, like, wasn't she, what was that Sandra Bullock movie she was in, several years ago?
I didn't see it. Did she cuss
it? I feel like she did.
Oh, wow. Well, I was just saying, like, if she's having an interview and they're coming back from the interview and she's just like,
oh, yeah. I mean, like,
she's like, I got to get out of here and get a fucking glass of wine.
She's like 88 at this point. So, like, you got to excuse her from everything. Like, she doesn't fall under FCC guidelines at this point.
I agree. I just feel like it would be hilarious to me. And I would just watch it on a loop, like her saying motherfucker or something. You know, that was really funny to me.
My favorite video of an old person is like, there's this woman I think who was celebrating her 101st birthday. And she, like, the woman's interviewing her. Oh, no, it's her 100th birthday. And the woman on the news is interviewing her. And she's just like, I wish I was dead. And I'm just like, what the? Oh, my God.
That's awesome. Old people are the best, man. I should know. They're in my circle. I run with those guys. That's my crew. I roll deep with those guys.
Do you have a walking group with you and like the four old ladies of your neighborhood?
Yes, but we use the motor scooters. We don't actually walk. We just kind of, you know, shift ourselves around the neighborhood. And I bring my cane in case I have to get up to do anything. So listen, bring the music back in here for you, brother, but I'm going to let you tell us where to find you. And, you know, Andy usually gives his final thought, but he's so...
Yeah, actually, I wrote down final thought. I was actually going to pimp myself.
All right, so do your final thought, because I didn't know if you came up with that. He's always so spiritual, so...
I tried. Actually, Andy stole my... Like, last week's episode, Andy stole mine. I was like, hey, no one talks about challenging themselves by listening to the opposition. And then Andy was like, yeah, you should listen to the opposition. I'm like, God damn it, Andy, I hate you.
Yep, nope.
But no, if you find your Netflix catalog daunting, if you find there's just too much stuff and you have no idea what's even good or terrible or what you should watch, Netflix and Swill is your location, your one-stop shop to find out all the goods on Netflix news reviews and the addition of booze we drink during the show. And, you know, we like some things. As of right now, we don't like a lot of things,
Hey, I agree, man. I love Netflix and Swill. Listen every week. Love Caleb, too. He's been on the show before. He came on to talk love ballads, which was I felt like I was kind of pulling him out of his comfort zone, but he did really well.
No, you weren't.
He did really well. And then you came on, you did tangential Christmas movies with Ashley and I, and then we did Netflix Originals, which was one of our very, very first bonus episodes. Yep. That was a lot of fun. I want to do that one again this year, probably, and update our list a little bit. But
that sounds good.
But yeah, man.
My list won't have updated very much, I'll tell you that.
Well, we could do maybe original films, which you hate them all, so I don't know if you come up with five.
No, I have five. I actually thought about that.
All right, cool. I'll come up with five as well. Dan from Netflix and Swill, give my best to Caleb. I loved having you on, man. It's always fun to chat with you. And yeah, guys, all of his information is going to be in the show notes. Make sure you look those guys up, especially if you are looking for suggestions on Netflix, no doubt. Dan, I appreciate it, brother. That's episode 67. Thanks for being here, man.
Thank you for having me.
I'll talk to you soon.
Thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening to Two Peas on a Podcast. The views and opinions expressed were solely those of the hosts and are not necessarily shared by our distributors or hosting companies. Visit twopeasonapod.com for more info.
You've been listening to a Blazing Caribou Studios production. Support and subscribe to our Patreon at patreon.com/blazingcariboustudios.